morning, and welcome to The White Way, a public service radio program of Mo'ili'ili Honganji. Mo'ili'ili Honganji is a Jodo Shinshu Buddhist temple located at 902 University Avenue. Our resident minister, Reverend Bert Sumikawa, and the members of our temple invite you to join us at temple services and activities. If you go to our internet website at www.mo'ili'ilihonganji.org, you can find a map of our location, our calendar of events, and information about our temple. This morning's program is sponsored by Mrs. Jolene Nakamatsu in memory of parents, Richard and Shizue Okamura. Our speaker is Dr. Jay Sakashita of the University of Hawaii. Good morning, Dr. Sakashita.
Good morning, and I hope you are all well. My name is Jay Sakashita, and I teach religion courses at Leeward Community College and at UH Manoa. I'd like to thank Reverend Sumikawa and everyone at Mo'ili'ili Honganji for inviting me to be a part of this morning's White Way radio broadcast. I enjoy visiting the different Buddhist temples on the island, and when I walk into many of the temples and see the array of gold leaf gilded items on the altar area, statues, ritual implements, and other ornate symbols, the first thing that comes to my mind is Kamaaina medals. Remember that pawn shop that used to sell inexpensive, slightly used, pre-owned jewelry? Actually, to be honest, I don't only associate pawn shops with Buddhist temples. No, I think of inexpensive jewelry during Christmas and birthdays, Valentine's Day, and anniversaries as well. Now, what is it about cheap jewelry that attracts me? The price. I find it intriguing how anyone, through whatever process, can attach a price tag to a piece of metal, precious or otherwise. For example, several weeks ago, gold was selling at $1,364 an ounce, $1,364 an ounce. When I heard the news, I got all excited and quickly went to the back of my closet, where I keep hidden a shoebox that holds the letters from a former girlfriend. And there, tucked beneath a stack of notes and envelopes that I keep in a box that I store in the back of the closet, away from moths, away from dust, away from my wife, is a gold ring that my former girlfriend gave me in 1984. And because I now have two children whose combined school tuition is $45,000 a year, I could use $1,364 an ounce. So I put the gold ring in my pocket and started to walk out the door and head to the pawn shop. But something didn't feel right. Something inside me said, wait. Wait until it's $1,400 an ounce. No, I couldn't sell the gold ring because it had taken on a different value for me over the years. Throughout history, gold has been valued in different cultures and among different religions for similar reasons. First of all, gold is quite literally incorruptible. It is highly resistant to chemical reactions and immune to the corrosion that affects baser metals. It therefore has a lasting quality and is thus a symbol of strength and consistency. Indeed, during times of chaos and war, gold becomes a very popular investment choice because of these attributes. Secondly, gold is also intrinsically luminous, seeming to shine with a light all its own. Gold thus became a symbol of life and spirit and of perfection and immortality. Due to these associations, gold was often buried with the dead in antiquity, and an era characterized by sacred time is referred to as a golden age. In ancient India, a sacred text known as Satapatha Brahmana identified gold with immortality. The Christian Bible says heaven will have streets of gold. The Torah describes the mercy seat in the Ark of the Covenant where God is as pure gold. And the Quran states believers and doers of righteousness will be rewarded with gold bracelets. And of course in Buddhism too, Buddhas are frequently portrayed in gold. In fact, the golden Buddha in Wat Thrimit Temple in Bangkok, Thailand is nearly 10 feet tall and weighs more than 5 tons. And it is made entirely of gold. Wow. But despite its symbol as a source of strength and stability, gold is also a soft metal. Gold is malleable and can be fashioned into something even more wonderful. In short, gold is lasting, but can also be shaped. It is permanent and changing at the same time. My shoebox gold ring has lasting memories for me. The ring reminds me how I was a failing student in high school and then a struggling one in college. I didn't understand the value of education. I couldn't comprehend the importance of community service, and I certainly didn't think I had anything of worth to offer anyone. And yet, in 1984, someone still wanted to be with me. So much has changed in the world around me and in the world inside me since then. What is truly attractive about the assortment of used jewelry in pawn shops or at swap meets is that each piece of jewelry has seen some of the changes in some of the people's worlds. Each piece comes from a different place and brings a different story, and it has the potential to be a part of someone else's story, someone else's world. When my daughter was a little girl, she used to say to my wife, "Mommy, can I have your gold bracelet when you die?" We laughed and thought, how cute of her to ask. But we made a mental note to sleep with one eye open to keep watch, just in case she decided to hasten the event. My wife told her she would give the bracelet to her as an heirloom on her graduation day. That day is now just around the corner. Over the years, the bracelet has witnessed a lot of our hopes and fears, happiness and heartaches. My daughter will enrich it and deepen the bracelet with her own experiences and render it even more valuable. We all come from different backgrounds and we bring different stories. And during this time of the year, we share not only a meal, but a part of ourselves with others in gratitude and thanksgiving as well. Some years, I have a lot to be thankful for. This year, not so much. While there is a fair amount of pain, loss, and suffering every year, this year has been especially heartbreaking for my family. But just as gold flakes may emerge by chance from well-worn broken rocks weathered by the elements, sometimes a heart breaks in the right way, and for this I'm thankful. From pain and enduring the struggles that come along with it, we find our own strength and beauty. From suffering, we gain a keener sense of compassion. And from loss, we learn understanding and acceptance. When you've lost someone dear, suffering and joy come from the same place. Now, my sadness is my strength. My sorrow is my smile. Not only are Buddhas made of gold, but other symbols in Buddhism as well. According to what is known as the Contemplation Sutra, a golden lotus welcomes one to the pure land of Amida Buddha. What is the significance of the lotus blossom in Buddhism? The lotus grows in a pond of mud and stagnant water. Yet from the muck, a beautiful blossom emerges. If there is no mud, there can be no lotus. Religions thus preach not only salvation from suffering, but also salvation through suffering. Just as a cataclysmic event in the universe, the smash-up of neutron stars, produced glimmering riches of dust that was transformed into gold. The idea that pain, loss, and suffering can be sources of transformation is found in all the major world religions. They can help us become more compassionate, grateful, and forgiving people. In other words, rocks can reveal gold. In fact, there is a Buddhist prayer that says, "May I be given the appropriate difficulties so that my heart can truly open with compassion." Late night television host Stephen Colbert perhaps expresses it most provocatively regarding how tragedy has shaped his career when he said concerning the death of his father and two brothers in a plane crash when he was just 10 years old, "I love the thing that I most wish had not happened." Like gold, the teachings of the Buddha and values in Buddhism do not corrode. They are strong and remain pure and untarnished and can help transform our sufferings into gratitude and shape us into something more wonderful. And like an heirloom passed down through the generations, we have the honor of inheriting a rich religious tradition and the responsibility of adding to its luster. So as we approach the holiday season, I hope that your families are well, your hearts and minds are at peace, and that the rest of this year and the next will be rich and rewarding and as valuable as gold, something that we can be thankful for and cherish for a long, long time, or at least until it hits $1,400 an ounce. Thank you very much for listening, and happy holidays to you and your family.
Thank you, Dr. Sakashita. If you would like to listen to Jay Sakashita's talk again, or if you missed the broadcast, visit the Mo'ili'ili Honganji's website, www.mo'ili'ilihonganji.org, and click on 2016 Radio Speakers. And now, here are some announcements. Please join us tomorrow for our Veterans Day service at 9 a.m., when our speakers will be Armed Forces Veterans Andy Carson, Wes Henry, Richard Oka, and Edgar Hamasu. Next Friday, November 18, is the Pacific Buddhist Academy's annual fundraiser, their Lighting Our Way banquet at Wailai Country Club. I hope you have all signed up for the banquet, which will honor Dr. Mary Bitterman, Craig Bo Kahui, the Hompo Honganji Mission of Hawaii Ministers Association, and the Hompo Honganji Mission of Hawaii Ministers Spouses Association. Donations are also welcome to help defray event costs. Call Rudiger Ruckman at 532-2649 for further information. Next Sunday, November 20th, is Mo'ili'ili Honganji's 110th Anniversary and Sangha Remembrance, or Eitaikyo, service. The theme is Honoring Our Legacy, Embracing Our Future. Following the 9 a.m. Eitaikyo service with Reverend Shigenori Makino and a commemorative photograph in front of the temple at 10:30 a.m., the buffet luncheon and program will be held at the Japanese Cultural Center of Hawaii at 12 noon. Affirmation rites for Honolulu District will be held on Saturday, November 19 at 10 a.m. in conjunction with Mo'ili'ili's anniversary celebration. The Hompo Honganji Mission of Hawaii Social Concerns Committee is currently conducting its annual Social Concerns Fund Drive. Through generous contributions of Sangha members, the Hompo Honganji Mission of Hawaii is able to support worthy organizations and programs, provide compassionate action during times of disaster, and respond to social issues affecting our community. As we come to the close of our program this morning, we would like to thank our sponsor, Mrs. Jolene Nakamatsu, and our guest speaker, Dr. Jay Sakashita. My name is Susan Morishige, and I have been your announcer this morning. Please join us again next week on The White Way, when our speaker should be Mrs. Rose Nakamura. Namo Amida Butsu.